Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, June 3rd, 2017. This is episode 1392. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/techguy. And by Wistia, the video hosting platform that powers creative communication for more than 300,000 businesses. Start your free account today at wistia.com. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, augmented reality, video reality, virtual reality, reality. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the number if you want to talk high tech. Let's do it. What do we say? What do you say? I learned something this weekend. My weekends are Thursday, Friday. For your weekend, because I work on your weekend, so you can listen to this radio show. So I put up one of those outdoor cameras, security cameras, yesterday. And I learned something. It's got motion detection in it and night vision. And I learned something. There's no point in having motion detection if you have cats, because my phone's been blowing up every half hour or so. Someone's in your backyard. And at first I thought, well, I better check who's in my backyard. This could be serious. And it's always a cat. So, just a little tip, little techno tip. If you've got, I thought we might at least see deer and fox and things like that, but no. Apparently, the cats know the camera's there, and they perform. They perform for the camera, which is either that or I somehow magically put a camera on their performance space. I don't know. It's the strangest. we can have cameras now everywhere. Nest announced this week. The folks who the Google folks announced this week. That they were going to do a new camera called the IQ Cam. It's an indoor camera. They bought the company called Drop Cam a while ago. It's an indoor camera, so and the camera has a face recognition in it because of this problem that, you know, the kitty cats are triggering the motion detection. So now, we'll see if it recognizes cats, but it supposedly it doesn't know, it doesn't say anything unless it's somebody you don't know in the house, which would be good. It'd be nice if it recognized cats. We have three of them. If I put in an indoor camera, I'm going to get nothing but alerts all day from my cat. I don't know. Do we need all these cameras, really? Do we really need them? I've survived all these years without a camera in my house or outside my house. I just thought it'd be kind of interesting. Kind of testing them, right? Hell is frozen over. Did you notice that? Sudden change in temperature down under? Google has announced that they're going to put an ad blocker in Google Chrome browser. What? I thought that was a lot until I thought about it a little bit. And I realized, oh. So Google's business is advertising, web advertising, banner ads and the like, right? That's how they make all that big Google money. Billions and billions and billions of dollars a year. So Google putting an ad blocker in their browser would seem like, kind of shooting yourself in the foot. But then I realized, oh, they're not going to block their ads. They're only going to block other people's ads. So this isn't really about making the world a better place for you and me. This isn't really about blocking ads. They say, oh, we're only going to block annoying ads. Whose ads are annoying? Not ours. I don't, can they get away with this? This seems a little anti-competitive. And if I were the other ad, Google Chrome is the dominant browser. If you look at browser adoption rates, even Internet Explorer, which used to own the world because it, you know, just came with Windows and everybody used it, and Safari are nothing compared to Google. And Firefox is going down. Google's Chrome is the number one browser out there and growing very rapidly. I use Chrome every day. I like it. But this seems like an anti-competitive measure. If you're an ad business and you make a browser, do you think this was the plan all along for Chrome? No. I think Google realizes they could not have gotten away with this in years past. They would have immediately gotten in trouble with the Federal Trade Commission and maybe they would have faced antitrust action. Because here you are, an ad company making the most popular browser in the world and blocking everybody's ads but your own. So at first I thought, wow, the world's really changing. Google really does care about us. Then I realized, oh. At Google, it's convenient because there's a group called the Coalition for Better Ads that's been lobbying Google. Who's on the board? Who are the investors for the Coalition for Better Ads? Not me, not you. Unilever, Facebook, The Washington Post, the Interactive Advertising Bureau, the Association of National Advertisers, Procter & Gamble, and, oh, yeah, Google. A bunch of advertisers. They've been lobbying Google. So there is a better ad standard. Google says, well, it'll let other people's ads through, as long as they're nice. Well, we'll see. We will see. It's clear there's been a problem. You just have to surf the net, especially on a smartphone, where all of those ads just, you know, sometimes you can't see the web page because of all the ads over on top of it. There's also a big security issue. And this Google's doing will help this. Many places websites that have banner ads don't really check those ads ahead of time. They're automatically sold. And bad guys have figured that out, and they've also figured out that an ad can contain malicious software. If there's problems in your browser, security flaws in Flash, for instance, they can use that ad to inject malicious software, viruses, and malware into your computer. You just go to a normal site, but a site that sells ads automatically, banner ads, and you can get infected. It's happened a lot on many sites, Forbes, MySpace, I think even Facebook. So it's good for security, blocking these ads that have Flash, you know, the animated ads, the ads that move around. Blocking those is not a bad thing. Ads take up a lot of your bandwidth, often much more than the content you're looking at, usually much more than the content you're looking at. They bog the web down. They take, you know, your site that you're visiting is going to take a lot longer to get to, especially on mobile. And they're an inconvenience for users. The ads get in the way. So I'm all about it. I'm all about it. And believe me, I believe in advertising. Everything I do is ad supported. I'm not against ads. But what happened is that the problem was really with banner ads on websites. Think about how you see banner ads. Do you see them when you go to a website? The ones that are kind of off on the side and stuff, I think I don't see them. I've learned to tune them out. That's why they got more and more aggressive about, you know, punch the monkey and, you know, belly fat and all sorts of stuff to get your attention. Now there's other ways. In mobile, you can put it in the actual content, right? That's what Facebook does, or Instagram. You're scrolling along, humming a song, looking at people's pictures on Instagram, and all of a sudden there's an ad. And it looks just like the content. I have been bit by that a number of times. I look at those ads because I think it's real. They're real. So there is a problem. And I think good advertising is fine, especially if it supports free media. Lots of free websites out there we love, we use, I use. But so I'm all for cleaning this up. But really, Google, all? That's interesting. Leah Laborde, the tech guy. Leah Laborde, the tech guy. Time to talk a little tech. And look who's here, Kim Schaffer, taking your calls, as they say. Hello, Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. I have a lovely couple. You know, I'm only going to be here a couple more days.
I know.
Then you're done with me.
I get a weekend off.
Yeah. Well, but you've been working harder because, and I should tell people this, we record so that you have fresh shows. Scott Wilkinson will be here one day. Jason Snell, my friend, former editorial director at IDG, the editor-in-chief of Mac World Magazine, and Windows, whatever it was called, magazine. But then next weekend, we still have a fresh show because you, thank you, stuck around and will stick around today after work.
Yep.
So I can answer people's questions, and then we cobble that together into a new show. So thank you.
With the magic of editing.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's the weird thing about a vacation for people like us. We just have to work harder when we're here.
Very true.
Get ahead. So you're working very hard, getting the phone calls together, and I see some.
Yeah.
Who should I start with?
Clarence in Chesapeake, Virginia.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Hello, Clarence. Leah Laborde, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo. Thank you for being there.
Thank you, Clarence. What can I do for you?
All these years I've used Android. I'm switching over next Friday to an iPhone. My family's got iPhones, and I had some problems with West Virginia and Kentucky using my Moto X, staying connected.
You couldn't get clearance, Clarence?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had to do that. Yeah. I won't do it again.
It worked.
So
my wife goes for a clearance sale, so
that's really not a phone issue. That's a carrier issue. But we'll set that aside. I think one of the things we don't test in phones as much as we used to is wireless quality. You know, the radio quality. But I really think they're all pretty much the same. Now, you remember when the iPhone 4 came out, there was a big brouhaha. Steve Jobs said, "You're holding it wrong," because you could hold it in such a way that the antenna would just disappear and you'd lose the call. Nowadays, we told the phone companies we don't want antennas in our phone. You know, remember they used to stick up? So they put them all internally, which isn't as good, but everybody does it. And so, you know, we're all kind of stuck with roughly the same quality. Mostly, though, if you lose a signal, it's not because of the phone. It's really because you got out of a range of the cell tower. And so you may have so are you going to change carriers too, or just the phone?
No, I'm staying with Sprint. Verizon dumped me. I had unlimited. I was grandfathered in.
Oh, I hate this.
Before they change over, I got dumped. But when I change over, I'm going to be doing a lot of number changes. You know, I'm thinking about doing my phone numbers manually. I've got a couple hundred phone numbers to deal with.
What? Wait a minute. What? You have a couple of hundred phone numbers?
Well, yeah. Not a whole lot.
Why do you... not a whole lot. I got a few. Why do you have so many phone numbers?
Well, I got my employer, and, of course, he's got about one for maintenance, one for the cost of...
Your business. You're talking about your business. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if I consider my business, I have a few numbers too, yeah. So you're changing your whole business.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, well, what can I do to help?
Well, last time I've changed my phone number list,
I'm sorry, I understand now. You don't mean your phone numbers, you mean your address book.
Right,
I thought you meant your numbers. Okay, I get what you're
saying.
Your address book. I apologize. Yeah. I understand what you're talking about now. So the simplest thing to do is, you know, it used to be when you get a new phone, sometimes the phone guy would be nice and he'd move the phone numbers over for you. Or you'd have to manually re-enter. Those days are long gone because of smartphones. Now, you're moving from Android to iOS, but when you were using Android, I'm thinking you probably set up a Google account, right?
I do have a Google account.
And are all your contacts in your Google account?
Yes, they are.
Oh, well, then there's nothing to fear. You'll get the new iPhone, you'll add your Google account, and your address book will populate with all of the phone numbers that you used to have on your Android phone. Your calendar will populate. Your email will populate. It won't make that sound, but it will all populate, and you will be you'll be good to go. Nowadays, moving from phone to phone is an easy peasy. And there is Apple makes, I don't know of how much value it is, but Apple does make a tool for switchers that you can get in the Apple Store that lets you switch from Android. And I think it moves over other things, maybe text messages, things like that.
Okay. All right.
So when you get your new iPhone, go to the App Store and the Apple App Store and look for a Apple Switch program. Let me see what it's called so I can help you.
Okay. And well, I'm using my Blue Parrot 450, the new one they came out with a while back. I'm hoping it sounds good for you.
It sounds great. Those parrots, I can, you know, I can always tell there's a parrot because these are the Bluetooth headsets with great noise cancellation. I never hear any noise. Are you? You're not driving.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, I won't ask. So the so the iOS app is called Move to iPhone, or I'm sorry, Move to iOS. And, and it moves contacts, message history, which is really nice, mail accounts, calendars, camera photos and videos, web bookmarks, and the so you're going to get Google Photos. Yep, it'll and if you're on Google Photos and if you're on Google, you know, address book and all of that, you don't have to worry. But what it will do is if it sees the same app on Android that is available on iOS, it will download that too. So they're making it I wonder why. They're making it really easy. And actually I should take it back because it is on Android as well, and I think what you do is you you download the Move to iOS app to your old phone. Do you still have it? Oh, did I lose you? Are you there? Oh, I think the parrot battery died. We shouldn't have mentioned it. So you're going to download this onto your Android device, and then you will say, okay, let's connect the iPhone, and you do that via Wi-Fi for speed. And it transfers everything over. Now, as I said, your Google account will go over, which means so will your contacts. So will your calendar. But this is nice because you're going to get your camera roll. You know, I mean, if you have Google Photos, you don't really need that. Messages, which I don't know of another way you can do that. That makes that very easy. And bookmarks from your browser, from your Chrome browser into your Safari browser. So they've made this about as easy as can be. So enjoy your new iPhone. I think you're going to like it a lot. It's interesting to watch people switch. I see many people going the other direction, by the way, switching from iOS to Android. There are a variety of reasons, but that you would go one way or the other, and it's fine. Nowadays, I don't think there's that much difference. And I think if you're an Android user, you might see some things you can't do. But that's more advanced users. For instance, I don't use the stock Android interface. I use a special launcher called Action Launcher. You can't change the launcher on iPhones. But most people, they don't care. They don't even know. Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Geek, coming up next. He's going from the green team to the blue team. Gonna be a blue bubble. And Scott Wilkinson is here, our home theater guru. Ooh. He hosts the Home Theater Geeks podcast at twit.tv/HTG. I guess, what do you think, Scott? Should I tell people that's my network?
Like, you should.
Disclaimer, I'm plugging my network.
You're plugging your own network.
Yeah, disclaimer here. That's a kind of a sideways ad. But it's a good show. I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
He's also editor-in-chief at the AVS Forum at avsforum.com. And I don't have anything to do with that. So there.
Nothing whatsoever.
Hey, I just wanted to mention you saw Wonder Woman last night.
I did see Wonder Woman last night in Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos at a Dolby cinema. First time I'd been to
Dolby good?
It was Dolby good. First time at the Century City 15 Dolby Cinema. And I have to say, that room is smaller than the one I normally go to in Burbank, which meant, interestingly enough, that the exit signs were more in my peripheral vision, which really...
And they're bright red, aren't they?
They're bright red, yeah.
Which, I guess they can't turn those off. I remember Steve Jobs... I guess maybe this is an apocryphal memory from the terrible Steve Jobs movie. But I think it is true. Fighting in the maybe it was the original Mac unveiling to get the exit signs turned off in the theater.
Right, so that they could be completely black and it could be very mysterious.
And, of course, it's highly illegal, but
yes.
Steve Jobs gets his way.
Well, this is a smaller theater, so that was a problem. Yeah. The seats, the Dolby Cinema seats are supposed to be, super comfy recliners, which these are, but they're narrower than the ones in Burbank. I think they were trying to shave a little money. so that was a little more.
That's
crowded,
awful. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Now you're closer to the screen, so doesn't that mean what? Is that good?
Well, you still want to be a certain distance away from the screen in relation to the size of the screen.
Yeah.
So
you don't want it to go past your peripheral vision.
Correct.
Then you'd be looking around the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Which you don't want to do.
I remember going to a Star Wars movie that was very sold out, sitting in the front row and looking.
Oh, that happened to me in Avatar. Actually, I was sitting in like the third row, and I was like,
at an IMAX.
yeah, that's very. It makes me ill. For
so
sure.
I didn't go to a fancy movie like you did, but I did see some TV. I watched the new. It came out this week. House of Cards on Netflix.
Oh, the new season.
Hotly awaited, I think season 5.
Season 5, exactly.
And it's shot, now I think it's always been shot in 4K, but this is the first time I've watched it in 4K. And I think this is the first time it's shot in 4K with HDR, high dynamic range.
Well,
I may be
actually,
wrong.
No, the earlier
it was always shot that way.
Are high dynamic range.
I just
as
didn't
well.
Have a TV that could see it.
Right, but now you do.
Well, and everybody... I'm watching the show thinking, man, they aged a lot over the last year. And then I realized, oh, I'm just seeing it's more realistic.
Yeah, exactly. We had the same problem when we moved from standard definition to high definition.
Yeah, we're shooting this show at 720p and it's going to stay that way.
Right. Newscasters in particular were just livid about high definition. You know, they were going, oh man, you can see every little piece of makeup
and
everything.
It's terrible. I remember when it came in because that was back when I was doing Live with Regis and Kelly.
Yeah.
And Kelly's show, she had a sitcom and that was shot in HD. So she had them bring in the new HD makeup stuff. Mm. And it was an airbrush. I am not kidding because, if you use powder and you powder it on like they used to do with a brush, you see the dust, you see the marks, you see the strokes. But the airbrush, it was very weird. I mean, it's got a little compressor.
Yeah.
And they have a little, it looks like they're spray painting you on your face.
Unbelievable.
It was the weirdest thing. And it does, it gives you a very smooth complexion. You look like you've been painted.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, the movie Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, Ang Lee.
Yeah.
He shot at 4K.
Yeah.
He also shot at a high frame rate, 120 frames per second. And because of that, he decided, after doing a bunch of testing, that his actors could not wear makeup.
I think they should eschew makeup. I agree 100%. And I think that's what it's my guess that's what they're doing now on House of Cards. Because it doesn't look like they're wearing makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's real people. But we're so used to actors wearing makeup that when they're not wearing makeup, they just look like, normal people. They look kind of old and haggard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you got to think that Frances Underwood is starting to get a little old and haggard.
Yeah, but it wasn't just, it was everybody. And I'm sitting there with my wife and I said, she aged quite a bit, didn't she? She said, she knew it's HDR 4K.
And that's probably true. Yeah. Interestingly enough, Robin Wright, who plays...
She's gorgeous. I mean, nothing wrong with Robin Wright. I'm not knocking her.
Oh, no. She is great. She plays Frances Underwood's wife, Claire, in House of Cards. She's also in Wonder Woman.
Oh, I love her. I'd go see anything.
She's one of the Amazon... On the island where Diana comes from.
She's in Amazon, of course.
Yeah.
What else? Do you know, here's a little trivia, what Robin Wright's first movie was?
I don't.
She played Buttercup in The Princess Bride.
Really?
I know. Every time I say that, people go, that's exactly the reaction. Really?
Oh, my God. Now I've got to go
look at it. Got to go back and look at it.
That up. Yeah.
That was her first movie. She was very young.
She was Buttercup.
She was Buttercup.
That's amazing. I just saw a clip of that the other day.
Couldn't be a more different character than the character she plays, Claire Underwood, in The House of Cards.
Right, right. Or the Amazon fighter, or the Amazon warrior.
Did you enjoy Wonder Woman?
I did. I think it's too long. The battle sequences are really long. But I really like that there's a strong female superhero. She is not over sexualized as most females are in these kinds of
movies. She is wearing a bathing suit, though.
Well, but it's a more, shall we say, a more modest bathing suit than Linda Carter wore in the TV.
They're not sexualizing her at all. She just has to run around in a bathing suit.
I didn't.
Are the guys wearing bathing suits in the show? No.
No. No. It's just toned down some from what we normally see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, she's innocent in the world, but yet she's very strong and can take care of herself and, in fact, takes care of all the guys.
I have a rule. I don't go see comic book movies. I don't know why.
Oh, well, that's all these superhero movies are comic book.
I know.
Movies.
They're very rarely any good. Deadpool was surprisingly good, but it was kind of an anti-hero.
Kind of an anti-hero.
I
thought Guardians of the Galaxy was good.
Yeah, it's good, too. I know. They're exceptions. And I end up seeing them because my wife and kid love them, so I end up going to see them. They're the big blockbusters. They're the big summer blockbusters.
It's true. And this is DC, which is Superman, Batman, that crew, as opposed to Marvel. You know, there are two main comic book franchises.
I'm a DC guy.
And this is DC.
I like your Superman. I like your Batman. I always felt, even as a kid, that Marvel was kind of pushing it. That, you know, Chewing Gum Man. It was just like it didn't.
Yeah, but Marvel typically has more humor. And this one has a fair amount of humor in it. And it's pretty good, too.
All right.
The imagery looked pretty good. The high dynamic range left a little to be desired, in my opinion. But
when you see bad high dynamic range, what does that mean?
It means that there's not the blacks are a little crushed.
Oh.
There's not enough detail in the shadows. Oh. The blacks aren't as deep as I would like. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Scott Wilkinson will be back next week, and then the week following we'll be actually sitting in this chair. Well, it's a ball, but
sitting on that ball.
Sitting on my ball, doing the show. Thank you for filling in for me while I'm on vacation.
Have a great time.
See you next week. Thank you, Scott. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. All right, Scotty, it's all yours, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much.
Oh, take it over. We were playing, we were going to show it on the new screensavers this afternoon, the new Star Trek game, virtual reality game, where you play online with other people and you're all on the bridge.
Really? Of the Enterprise?
Ship? Yeah, eventually it's the Enterprise. You work your way up to it. Initially, it's the Aegis, which is from the reboot. But pretty cool. It's like a lot of people's dream come true. Actually be piloting.
I have to say, up until, I don't know, I haven't yet seen, whenever I put on VR goggles and look at some VR thing, I can so easily see the pixel structure.
Yeah,
pretty low res.
We're not quite to HDR yet. There,
no.
Actually, we are, but it's just you're 3 inches from the screen or less. So,
right, exactly, and that's what the Display Week conference. One of the things that was just last week that we went to. They're talking about near eye displays and how you need to get to at least like 8K,
right,
before you can really. Yep. You know, think that you're looking out a window or through glasses or whatever.
Yep.
I have not seen that yet. I have not.
It'll happen, but it's, you know.
It'll happen, but it hasn't yet.
No.
And so that takes me so far out of the experience that, I mean, virtual reality is supposed to immerse you into another reality, right? You're supposed to think you're in this reality, but I never do. I haven't yet anyway.
No, so. And then you get nauseous. And
I do. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it that much either. But This one was pretty cool. All right, I'll give it to you. You have 149
seconds.
Okay,
149 seconds. Thank you. Hey, Mike Heiss is in the chat room. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Does Century City have the annoying backlights in the recliner seats the way the ones in Burbank do? I'm not sure I know what you mean by that. Backlights? You mean the controls? These are power recliners, and they have controls for the back and for the footrest coming up and down. And those are very annoying. If you touch them, they glow bright blue. And that is really annoying. And these have that too. I think the movie itself I generally enjoyed, other than it being too long. And I didn't think the Dolby Vision, the high dynamic range, was quite as good as I've seen in other movies, like Guardians of the Galaxy, for example, or Beauty and the Beast, both of which looked phenomenal in high dynamic range. This one, you know, there were some dark scenes that just didn't have the depth and richness that I've come to expect. I'm also remembering the opening, the very first shot after the movie begins is kind of a zoom in from space onto Earth. And the black of space was kind of gray. It wasn't black. And I that had to be a creative decision. Couldn't have been just, you know, a limitation, because I've seen black of space look really black in high dynamic range. And this didn't look like that. It looked more like a kind of a normal conventional theater. So that was a little disappointing. Beatmaster, VR can't be worse at immersion than Michael Bay. I suppose that's true. We saw a trailer, of course, for the next Transformers movie, which is not interesting to me in the least. Yes, Scooter X, Marvel movies are very entertaining. I generally like the Marvel franchise better because of that, because it's more humorous. It's lighter. It kind of takes itself less seriously. DC seems to take itself very seriously.
You want to stick around for the top of the hour?
Happy to do it.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Got to thank our musical director, Michael Cozio. He's always surprising me. 8888 Ask Leo, that is my phone number. That shouldn't be a surprise. I hope it's not. The website, techguylabs.com. And as I've mentioned, I'm going to go on vacation next weekend and the weekend after, but we will have a brand new show for you next Saturday and Sunday, because we've been recording secretly after the show. In fact, I'm going to do some more of that after the show today. So it makes it a little easier to get in. It's hard to get in, I know, sometimes, but if I record after the show for about an hour, usually people can get in then. So you can ask your question when the show ends today, and you'll get your answer next week. That's okay, right? You know, can you wait? 8888 Ask Leo. Paul, Orange County, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Paul.
Hey, long time, first time. Thank you. Got a question for you. Looking for a 75-inch to 80-inch plus TV with built-in frontal speaker. What do you recommend?
Built-in speaker in the front.
Yes.
You know, I have a good friend named Scott Wilkinson, who happens to still be here. So he wants a big screen TV, and he wants a speaker in the front. You know, I just bought my mom a TV, a TCL, one of those cheap Chinese TVs. And she said it doesn't have any speakers. It did, but you would never know.
Right.
I just bought my wife a TV, a Vizio, and they're off the side. They're side firing, and they sound terrible.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Does anybody make such a thing, Scott? Or does he? Or I know what you're going to say, which is get a sound bar.
Well, actually, no. I mean, yes. A sound bar is always going to be a better alternative, but depending on the budget, there is at least one TV I can think of with surprisingly good onboard sound. It ain't cheap. It's the Sony A1E OLED.
Kind of makes sense that Sony would have good sound.
Well, they do something unique, which is amazing, actually. They put the entire screen is the speaker.
Whoa.
they put these little transducers behind the screen that actually vibrate the screen itself, the OLED screen.
So I've seen these things you stick to your window and it says, oh, the window's the speaker. But they never sound good. Does this really sound good?
This really sounds good. It's by far the best TV sound, onboard TV sound I've heard you know, really long
and
time.
And it is front for, it is front firing, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. Absolutely front firing. Now, he wants a, he said he wants a 70 or 80 inch TV.
Paul, you want a big one, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, the, so they come with a, they come in a 75, a 65 and a 75 inch.
80 is pretty big.
80 is very big.
Yeah.
And, actually.
And, never too big. Come on, Leo. Never too big.
No, I agree. I mean, I would love,
well,
you know.
The Sony also comes in 100 inch.
That's too big. But you can't get that in the door. You actually have to remove the roof.
It's also 60 grand.
Yeah, that's not. But I remember when I showed Sharp's 103-inch LCD many moons ago, they had to bring it in a 747. They had a special cargo hold.
Yes,
and you know, you literally you couldn't. You'd have to build the house around it. There was no way unless you were, you know, you had some sort of unusual. And I think it's really intended for movie stars who do in fact have big, you know, wide
giant
doors
houses,
and stuff.
Yeah, but I think the 65 or the 75. The 65, I think, is I can't recall. I think it's on the order of like $6,000 or so. It's not cheap by any means.
Well, but he's looking for a big TV. Paul's you got want, money, obviously.
You want a big TV and you want good sound from the TV itself. That's
there you
absolutely
go, Paul.
The way to go.
There you go.
Give me the model again, please.
It's called the A1E. The full model number is XBR screen size, be it 65, 75, or 100. I'm sorry, that's the Z. My mistake. I'm thinking of two different things. The A1E is in a 55, 65, or 75, I believe.
A1E is the thing to look for, though.
That's right. A1E is
and
the thing.
And we saw these at CES in January.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
But they're available now.
TV. Wow. Yeah, they are.
And OLED is great. I mean, seriously, you're going to – the sad thing is you're going to then have the most amazing screen ever. And you're going to wish you had 7.2 surround sound and Atmos and all that stuff to go with it.
Right. I was mistaken. I was thinking of the Z9D, which is an LCD TV. That's 100 inch.
Well, I have no idea. Why would you be confused? I mean, come on, Scott. Hey, thank you,
the
Scott.
OLED, yeah.
I feel like Woody Allen in that movie where he says, you're completely wrong. And I happen to have Marshall McLuhan right here. It's just I drag out Scott and he knows the answer to anything. So, thank you, Scott. We'll see you next week. Appreciate it. Isn't that nice? Ted, Apple Valley, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ted.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, welcome to the show. So you have Wi-Fi woes.
I do.
You're not alone. Seems like Wi-Fi's gotten worse, and I don't think it's gotten worse. We're just demanding more of it. We're watching high-def video over our networks. The neighbors now have Wi-Fi. Everybody has Wi-Fi. In fact, most places, even in the rural areas, you open up your computer and you look at all the Wi-Fi signals. You know, it's you and 10 other people. So Wi-Fi really has become a more of an issue. And you mentioned these mesh routers. These really are a great solution. Tell me what's your Wi-Fi problem specifically?
What's driving this, Leo, to answer your question, is I do have a new Samsung 4K TV and trying to watch some info there. I see a lot of buffering. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Well, 4K, remember, 4K, what you're watching to be 4K, you need conservatively 25 megabits, and really, Netflix says 50. So it may not be your router. It may be just your internet service provider you're not getting enough bandwidth. What's your internet service provider promising as bandwidth?
50 up and 50 down.
Good. That's very good. So, 50 up?
Yeah.
Wow.
50 up and 50 down. That's what I've subscribed to. I know through the Wi-Fi you're not going to get.
You're going to get half that on Wi-Fi. That's why if at all possible, for instance, on my 4K setup, I have everything wired. Right. You know, I have a router connected right to the cable modem, and I have everything wired because that's the only way you can get reliable 4K, in my opinion.
I can do that. One of the things, and I've seen some of your Twit videos, YouTube, and done a little bit of research. I know you felt pretty strongly about both the Eero and Netgear's Orbi.
Those
mesh
are both
routers.
They're both, you know, the thing about mesh is they all solve some different problems or somewhat different problems. The Eero is a sponsor, we should mention, and I really like the Eero because of the smartphone interface. The Orbi has no smartphone interface. It's very minimal. It's more like a traditional router, in fact, even in its operation. But the Orbi is a power tool. The Orbi goes farther and has higher speeds than any of it's partly because it's not technically mesh. It comes with a base unit and a satellite, and it's mesh-ish. It's better than an extender, but not quite as good as the meshes. But if you want raw speed, it's very good. And by the way, Wirecutter, in their review of all the routers, recommended Orbi as well. I also like Plume. I'm not crazy about Google Home or Amplify. Those are not as good. I'll talk a little more when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So just to, you know, we had to take a break, but just to kind of recap, Ted, Wired would be always better. Then you'd get the 50 megabits. And I think I can
install some Cat 6 wired.
Yeah, I think that's really important for the 4K video.
Where I'd like to kind of direct the conversation, if I can, too, Leo, is I want to replace my Verizon modem/router that's currently in the house.
Yeah, because you have Fios. You may be stuck with that.
Well, I don't have Fios anymore because, as you know, you're a California guy.
Oh, you're Frontier.
We lost Verizon here, in the state, and now my internet service is provided by
Frontier,
correct. Yeah.
So they left the Verizon Action Tech router in there.
What's that?
They left the Verizon Action Tech router in there.
Yes, they switched it over.
Yeah, I think it's just not labeled Fios, but it's the same service technically.
Technically, yes.
So
can I replace that?
Well, you'll have to check out with Frontier to see if they offer alternative. If they, you know, most cable providers will say, "Oh yeah, you can use this, this, and this." As long as it's DOCSIS 3. But fiber is a little different. I'm not sure. Let me ask the chat room if anybody with Fios knows. I know they use those kind of not so great Action Tech routers. You can, Scooter X is making a good point. You can bridge it. You can say, just be a Fios modem. And then use a better router. And if you went out and you got the Orbi or the Eero, that would be the recommendation.
That becomes the router. But then, with the Eero, I would have to buy a switch because it only has two ports on the back of it, correct?
That's right.
I've got four ports, and I'm using them all right now.
Yeah, yeah. You want a switch, and that's what I did. I went out and got a switch. So it comes in as Ethernet. So actually, in that case, I can't imagine it would matter at all what you use.
It comes in with a coax cable.
Oh, it's coax. All right. Then you do have to use their router.
Really? So I'd have to bridge it to the Orbi or the Eero or whatever I decide to buy.
Yeah. If you can bridge it, do. It's always all of these mesh do a better job if they're the router. But that doesn't mean they won't work if you can't. In fact, Dr. Mom's saying Eero recommends that you put the Eero in bridge mode with Fios. I don't know why that would be. In general, these guys want to be fully in control of the system because if they're doing the routing, they can do smart stuff.
Sure.
But they work fine in bridge mode. Orbi works fine in bridge mode. Eero works fine in bridge mode. I've tried them all in bridge mode, and they work fine. It's just they're not as smart. Yeah, they're not as smart. But somebody's saying you can put the Action Tech into bridge mode. In which case, let the Eero do the routing.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good, sir.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Leo.
Back we go to Scott Wilkinson. Am I right, Scott, in the recommendation that what do you think for 4K is the bandwidth that you would need?
Yeah, I think you were exactly right on that. 25
minimum.
Minimum.
I think Netflix says 50, I think.
Well, last I saw, Netflix was saying 25.
Okay, good.
But I agree. More is better.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Netflix and those who are broadcasting or streaming 4K material, they're compressing the you-know-what out of it.
Right.
And so even if you've got a very fast upload speed, you're still getting a much more compressed signal.
Right.
Than you would otherwise.
Yeah, you're right. Netflix says 25.
Yeah. I mean, more is better.
If you're watching Voodoo or somebody else, you might want more, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you're exactly right that wired is going to be far better than wireless. You just really want to have a wired, an Ethernet cable going to your device that's produce that's streaming that material, whether it's the TV itself or it's a Roku box or some other box. If you're doing 4K, you really want that very high download speed. Well, I guess it's not that high these days. It is for most people. What is the average download speed or downstream speed that people are getting these days in the U.S.? Last I saw, it was like on the order of 3 or 4. So I don't know whether more. I'm sure more and more people are getting up to 25 or more, but there's still a lot of people who don't get that, I'm sure. So that's something to be aware of, particularly if you're going to stream. I've been doing some reviews. I did the Sony A1E actually, and I looked at UHD Blu-ray and it looked phenomenal. And then I looked at UHD high dynamic range streaming from Netflix. A lot of noise. There was a lot of noise in that, and I might not have noticed as much had I not just seen UHD Blu-ray. But it was a pronounced difference. I don't remember what the speed was. I wasn't at my home. I was at my friend's studio, and I think he's got I think it might only have been 10 megabits now that I think about it. I have to verify that. I don't know for sure. Also, I want to make absolutely certain that everybody knows that I made a mistake on my response to that guy. I was talking about the A1E OLED, which is what I wanted to talk about. But I was thinking about the sizes of the Z9D, which is also a Sony television that goes up to 100 inches for $60,000. The A1E only goes up to 77, and that's not even available yet. The A1E is 55 and 65 inches, and the 55 is about $4,000, and the 65 is about $6,000, 5,500. So I sort of conflated those two, and I always hate when I do that. I hate when that happens. Archandra sending me a story about speeds on DSLR. DSLR? DSL, you probably mean. It says at 187 meg. Oh, I'll have to read that. That's very interesting. Reef 443, would I recommend not seeing Wonder Woman as a first-time HDR movie? Wow, that's a tough question. It is not the best HDR I've ever seen, but it's still for the most part a lot better than what you'll see in a regular theater. So I don't think I would discourage you from seeing it as a first-time HDR movie. Unfortunately, it's not as good as some I've seen. Guardians of the Galaxy, Beauty and the Beast. But it's still not bad. It still looks great. Again, without a point of comparison, it'll be difficult to say, oh, that didn't look that good. Without a point of comparison, I'm sure it looks great. I'm just super critical. So Archandra, for the U.S., the average speed is 18.7 megabits. Okay, well, that's good. It's better than what I remember last time I looked it up was 3-something. So 18.7 is good. It's not 25. So there are an awful lot of people who don't have the bandwidth to stream 4K.
I think I have on my Comcast 100 down. So,
oh, well, then you got
consistent.
Plenty.
Yeah, it's pretty consistent.
Okay.
But yeah. I use it wired just so that I can.
I would too. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, Archandra, yes. DSL reports. He said DSLR, and I thought he was talking about cameras.
No, DSL reports. Yeah, yeah.
DSL reports. Yeah, no, they are great. I agree. Yeah. I totally agree.
Trust them.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Scotty. Now, we recorded for next week, right?
We did.
So I won't see you until after I get back. Have a great time.
Thank you. I will have a wonderful time. You as well. You're going to Machu Picchu and...
the Galapagos.
Galapagos. Have a great time.
Thank
man.
You, Scott. Take
see
care.
Ya.
Bye-bye. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We talk about smartphones, we talk about smart watches, we talk about augmented reality, the future, voice commands, things like the Amazon Echo. Rumor, Monday, day after tomorrow, as we record this, Apple's going to have its big WWDC, Worldwide Developers Conference. It's the first time Apple spoken in public at a big event like this since last September. 8 months. And everybody's watching. Or was it October? Anyway, it's 8 months. Everybody's watching with great interest. Because while there's all sorts of rumors swirling around Apple, it doesn't seem like Apple... I mean, the latest Apple products have been less than awesome, shall we say. The iPhone's great, and the iPhone remains dominant in the United States and is considered, I think, by many to be the top smartphone out there. And that's certainly Apple's bread and butter. They make more money on the iPhone than anything else. And the AirPods, their little Bluetooth headphones, those are pretty impressive. I mean, Apple did something weird with the iPhone last year. They took the headphone jack out. And other companies that have emulated Apple have really struggled without a headphone jack. But Apple seems to be doing all right. I don't like it, but Apple seems to be doing all right. I have, you know, as I'm traveling, and so I have to have a few extra dongles just in case I lose a dongle so I can use headphones with my iPhone. That's crazy. Crazy. Let's see, what else? Perhaps... You know, I mean, the last MacBooks, kind of a mixed bag. I think a number of people were disappointed that the MacBook Pros only have Thunderbolt, Type-C Thunderbolt ports. And so you have to buy, adapters to use them with almost anything you have. I don't mind that so much, but I know it bothered a lot of people. What bothered me more was this new Touch Bar. I wish Apple would do Touch. I think Microsoft has... I think more than adequately demonstrated the power of touch in laptop and tablet computing. I mean, after all, Apple brought us touch with the iPhone and the iPad, forcing Microsoft to scramble and add touch to Windows. But Apple, for some reason, still doesn't have touch on macOS and says it never will. Instead, they did this dopey thing called the Touch Bar, which I don't know. Are you a fan of the Touch Bar? I actually got rid of my Touch Bar MacBook Pro, gave it to my producer, and instead am using the kind of lower-end one they released at the same time without a Touch Bar because I kept hitting the Touch Bar by accident and never found it useful. To me, it's the ultimate in gimmickry. And I think a lot of Mac users, people who use Mac OS, are worried that Apple isn't listening to them. So they're going to be watching with a special interest on Monday. There are rumors there'll be new MacBooks. I think the Touch Bar is here to stay. Maybe they'll finally put Intel's latest 7th generation processor in there. They're the last company making laptops that's not using Intel's 7th generation processors. Maybe they'll do some other things to help people who are worried about Mac support. There is a rumor there'll be a new iPad. I don't think that's the case. I think that those usually come out in October. And while we didn't get anything much new last October, I think maybe next October we will. I'm not holding my breath. iPad's not that big an important category. Believe it or not, the sales have really plummeted. I don't see Apple putting a lot of energy into that. There is a rumor, and I think this rumor is so strong, and I'm hearing it from so many sources that I believe it. They will announce, but not release, a competitor to the Amazon Echo and the Google Home. You know, one of those devices you can talk to in your house based on their Siri voice assistant. It comes with the iPhone. Siri is the dopiest of them all. Sorry, Siri. Don't take this too personally, but she does the least. Apple has been the most... In fact, Apple, when they bought the company, because they didn't invent Siri, they bought it. Took features out. Siri, when it was a standalone app, you could make restaurant reservations, with OpenTable, and there was all sorts of integration that Apple just took out, making Siri dumber. I've found her an exercise in frustration. I end up spending more time swearing at Siri. Meanwhile, Amazon Echo and Google have been just kind of lapping Apple. So it'll be interesting to see. Supposedly they'll announce a kind of a hardware device. It may or may not have a screen. There seems some debate over that. But I think there's a general agreement it won't be available this month. It won't be available for a few months. Not that I'm holding my breath. And I think where Apple will go with this, and this seems to be the rumor, is that they will make make a more expensive, it's Apple, that's not such a stretch, a more expensive device with better speakers. One of the things I'm not crazy about the Amazon Echo, the speakers aren't great. Now, I ended up buying a bunch of Dots, which are the Echoes that really are just control that you then plug into better speakers, and I use them with good speakers, and that's fine for me. And there are plenty of people who think the Echoes, I talk to them all the time, the Echo speaker is fine, and for speech, I guess it is. It's not a great music system. So it's thought that Apple will release something, even Google's Home has better speakers than Echo, that Apple will release something with better speakers, better microphones. I don't know if you can really do better microphones than the Echo. The Echo's pretty amazing. Well, we'll see. Monday is the day. If I were going to make predictions, and I'm going to do this right now, knowing that I will be gone for 2 weeks and you can't get mad at me or say anything because I will be out of the country, I think it's going to be a fairly mundane and boring event. I would not get my hopes up. I think what Apple will do is maybe release new laptops, maybe talk about the idea that Siri is going to be more like Echo. Because remember, it's a developers conference. So what they're really there to do is to ask developers to start working on stuff for fall release. They'll show the new Mac OS, whatever that is. And they'll show the new iOS, whatever, you know, iOS 11. I would not expect any surprising, exciting new techniques. In the last few releases, it's been things like messages. Oh, you know, you get balloons and messages, things like that. Because it's kind of hard to come up with something brand new on a product that's so close to done, so close to perfect. I don't see any major new advances. So I suspect what will happen, and a number of people are saying, oh, we know there's going to be huge surprises from Apple on Monday. And I think those are people who are just kind of living in hope at this point. Now, if I were you, I wouldn't buy any Apple gear this weekend. I'd wait to find out on Monday what Apple's releasing. But the good news is Apple's pretty good. If they do, in fact, we think they're new laptops because if you tried to order a laptop in the last couple of weeks from the Apple store, they'd say shipping is delayed till June 6th, the day after the event, which makes it sound like they're going to have something new and they'll just swap in the new thing for you. But I think Apple would be wise to kind of tell everybody, just calm down. It's not going to be – it's a developer conference. We're just going to be talking to developers. Don't get your hopes up. But like any religious cult, the faithful are waiting. They're genuflecting in the direction of Cupertino, praying and hoping for a revelation from the holy lips of Tim Cook. And maybe it'll happen. I'll be on a plane, so I'll just have to find out when I land. I hate it when that happens. Should have planned it better. 8888 Ask Leah. We'll go back to the phones, take more of your calls in just a little bit. And by the way, let me remind you, we have a website that's free, open, no subscription, no sign-up, no cost. And that's where we put everything, you know, all the links to things we talk about and answers to the questions. And I hope you will use it. It's got a great search. TechGuyLabs.com, TechGuyLabs.com. You don't have to write anything down. It's all there. More of your calls coming up in just a bit. I am Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Those good folks at Quicken Loans have decided enough is enough. No more going back to the 19th century when you need to get a home loan or a refi. You want to choose a lender you trust, a lender you can work with, and a process that's modern. You want to choose Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. The best lender in the country, right? They make it easy. They're awesome. And Rocket Mortgage makes it even better because you can do the whole thing online. They've got relationships with all the banks and everything. So all the records, financial records, you just, you know, you can do it with a touch of a finger. Say, yes, I approve. Please hand those over. You can choose your rate, you can choose your term, and then you get approved in minutes, which is so amazing. Such a revolution. I mean, I told the story about the last time I got a home loan. It took a long time. 3 years ago. From now on, Rocket Mortgage for me. And it's from Quicken Loans, which is the best mortgage lender in the country. Whether you're looking to buy or refi, lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, skip the lines. Go completely online. QuickenLoans.com/tech guy. That's QuickenLoans.com/tech guy. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Really great company and a great service. Rocket Mortgage. Go to QuickenLoans.com/tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Stacy from San Pedro. There you go. San Pedro. Hi, Stacy.
Good morning or afternoon or something like that.
Something like that. You started in the morning and I kept you on hold long enough. Now it's gone afternoon on us. Sorry about that.
Okay. You allowed me to make a lot of notes and think about a lot of things while I was waiting.
Good.
I drive for Uber and Lyft, and I've got phone issues. And specifically right now, I have a Samsung Galaxy S5. And
are you on the cell phone right now, or are you on your home line?
No, I'm on my home line, okay. And I took it off speaker. Is it the...
I don't know. Are you on a cordless?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the battery's dying. There's a little brrr every once in a while. It's fine. I can understand you.
Let me transfer over.
No. It's fine. Let's keep going. So you have a Samsung Galaxy S5? Yeah, it's fine.
Is this better?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so I took it off the cordless.
Oh, there you go. That improved it a lot, yeah.
Okay, good. And so I had problems with it overheating, even though it was only 74 degrees outside.
Sometimes the driver has a towel or a sunshade over their phone because, you know, you have to have the phone on the dashboard there. And
right.
It's sitting in the sun. And I think overheating Uber phones is not an uncommon problem.
And then I had issues with the battery discharging far too fast. I was lucky if I can keep it up for like 3 hours.
Do you keep your phone plugged in when you're driving or no?
I do, but the interesting thing in my car is that when it's in the face, in other words, you've got the 12.
Oh, you know what? Your phone is breaking up. I don't know what's going on here.
Really?
Yeah.
No better. Nothing.
No. And this is a landline? Wow.
It's a VoIP.
Oh, it's VoIP. Yeah, sounds like VoIP. That's okay. So it's overheating and the battery life is terrible, even though you're plugging in.
Right. Even though it's plugged in. And I ordered a different battery, even with a new battery. It seems like 3 hours is all I'm getting.
Yeah. Well, what you're doing with your phone is kind of challenging because it is plugged in, and you're using it all the time. Yeah,
right. But before, I had an LG Stylo, and it was good for 6-8 hours.
Yeah. Well, it is the case that these more modern smartphones have faster processors, and battery life has been steadily going down. The S5 was the worst Galaxy S phone they made.
Really?
Yeah, I was a fan of the S3 and the S4. The S5 came out. I was very disappointed. And then they redeemed themselves with the S6, the S7, and the new S8, all of which have been pretty good. Battery life still, though, is not like it would have been on your Stylo, for instance, because we're doing so much more with these phones. We've got very fast, pretty much desktop-class processors in there, lots more memory, lots more storage, big screens. All of that is challenging. So
I was thinking to try and upgrade to an LG G3 or G4. Do you have any thoughts about those?
Yeah, I like the current LG is a G6. So I understand you don't want to spend money for the brand new phone, which will be $800 or thereabouts.
Right.
But I would get as close to the G6 as you can. You could probably find a G5 for a few hundred dollars. Another good. Let me give you some phones in that $200 to $400 price range. I think there's some excellent Android phones out there. In the closer to $200 range, really like the Motorola G5. This is a low-end, fairly low-end phone. The screen's not as good, but good battery life. If you want the best battery life on Android, Motorola makes the Z phones are really good battery life. Don't get the new one, but you didn't want to anyway. because the new one's battery life is considerably reduced over last year's Motorola Z, the Z Player, the Z Pure, the Z. Very good battery life. I'm in a little bit higher price point. I'm a big fan of OnePlus. This is a Chinese company that makes quite a good Android phone for around $400. The current is the OnePlus 3 and the OnePlus 3T. We're expecting a OnePlus 4 any moment now, but you should, which means you may be able to get an even better deal on the OnePlus 3. Or even if you could find a OnePlus 1 or a OnePlus 2, the original OnePlus 1 was very good battery life, excellent battery life, and a really nice phone, and you should be able to get that for $100-$200 because it's so old. If you can find it, you might have to buy that one used. I don't know if there's a market for new, old OnePlus phones. I'm also a fan of the Huawei, and these are Chinese manufacturers, and ZTE. Both make excellent, inexpensive, sub-$400 phones. But the best low-cost Android device, in my opinion, is the Motorola G5. I think it's quite good. Quite good. So, but you'd be better, in my opinion, you'd better off getting a newer model of a less expensive phone than an older model of a more expensive phone. You don't benefit so much from battery life unless it's really old, like an S3. I think that's what the president uses, is an S3. I should find an S3 and see if how you can get Confifi to show up with autocorrect. It's probably an S3 thing. Google Pixel is very pricey, unfortunately, although because there's a new Pixel coming out, you should watch carefully at store.google.com. Because that is, my opinion, the best Android phone out there. And I bet you prices will... I think they're already starting to drop a little bit as we get close to a new Pixel. G5 Plus is $180, somebody in the chat room is saying. That's quite a good deal. That'd be the phone I'd recommend. And then, yeah, keep it out of the sun as best you can. Let's go to Gene in Oshkosh, Bagosh, Wisconsin. Hello, Oshkosh. Hi, Gene.
Hi.
What can I do for you?
I have a real quick question.
Yes, sir.
I have a S7.
Nice phone.
My supplier is Sprint.
Yep.
And I got a giant bill that is, my overages were at least, like, ridiculous.
Oh, I thought Sprint had a flat rate pricing.
Well, they did. I went from 150. This month it's 260.
Yeah. Did you travel overseas?
I did not. I've been home.
Well, it sounds like a call to Sprint is in order. You're not using it as your internet service at home, are you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to make me change. Plans.
Yeah, they might. All of the carriers wish they didn't have unlimited plans. That who knows? Although that would be obviously illegal. I think it's worth a call to Sprint and say, what's the difference? Because I didn't use the phone any differently this month over last. But you think I used twice as much data. What's the story? And they may have, frankly, it could very easily be an error. That's why it's worth a call to them. You also want to make sure that you don't have malware on your phone. I'll talk a little bit about one way bad guys can get you to spend more money. A close look at your bill will tell you where those extra costs came from. And if they came from texting overseas or calling overseas, it could be bit by malware. We'll talk about that when we come back. That music must mean it's time for Johnny Jett, our travel guru. He joins us each week to talk about traveling better with technology, and he's doing it right now. I know you're on the road with Jack and Natalie, your wife. You're driving, but you stopped at a JW Marriott to use their Wi-Fi.
I sure did.
Thank you, JW Marriott. That's travel tip number one.
You know, I've traveled with Mr. Marriott 4 times, by the way.
The Mr. Marriott?
Yeah. Wow. He's retired now, but, you know, a few years ago, I've been to Columbia, London, and Chicago, and I think Florida with him.
Well, just tell him, hey, I know Mr. Marriott, so leave me alone if they give you any trouble.
Yeah. But, you know, since I'm on this road trip, I was in Connecticut last week where I called in from, and then I drove to Philadelphia for two nights.
I saw the great pictures from Philly. Those were great, yeah.
Yes, and actually I did stay at a Marriott there, so there's a plug for them. But and then I'm here in D.C. because I'm going to a conference. I'm going to the IPW conference, which is the International Powwow. Something like 80% of the international business that comes to America actually goes through this conference. So just arrived, literally. One of the apps I downloaded for the road trip was called Get Urgently.
Get Urgently.
Yeah. So their website is geturgently.com, and it's a free app on both iOS and Android. And so, you know, I've been a AAA supporter for a long time and I love their service and I think they're great, but you know, there's a lot of people who don't want to pay their annual fee because they don't use it. And so I mentioned another one like this a long time ago called Honk.
I remember.
But here's
Honk,
a different one. Yeah, and here's another one that you can add and see which one comes up quicker. And so if you ever get a flat tire or need some kind of roadside assistance, you just tap these guys.
So it's like Uber for tow trucks.
Exactly. And they're in all 50 states, most of the major cities, not all the cities, but in all 50 states. And they're in parts of Canada, I think just the province of Ontario right now. But I love the idea that you have all these different backups. You know, you can do Honk or you do the AAA. Yeah. Just find out which one's going to come quicker.
I mean, put it on your phone and
Yeah, I mean, and I've just been driving with a baby in the car. So, you know, it's nerve-wracking knowing that you have such a precious cargo. Yeah. And so I'm just trying to figure out all the different ways. What's also nice about this, it's cashless payment. So you pre-register your credit card. It's kind of like Uber where there's no cash. So they're not going to hose you.
It costs probably a little more than AAA does. But if you think about I kind of got stopped. I had AAA for my wife and my kids because I figured, well, they don't know how to change a tire, but I stopped once they grew. I don't have AAA anymore. I'll figure it out.
And my car comes with it. So roadside assistance.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. Mine does too. Actually, come to think of it. Yeah.
Yes, I would definitely, I would use a variety of services. I would try the Honk, this. And see which one will show up quicker and which one would be cheaper.
Yeah.
But it's just nice to know that.
Get Urgently, GeturgentLy. But I also noticed it's urgent.ly. I don't know if that works, but that's the
answer. Yes, let's see if that works.
Yeah,
what is
L-Y? Urgent.ly. It's Libya.
L-Y.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. It's Libya. Yeah.
Okay.
It's Libya. That's all I'll say.
I got a website for you, too.
Okay, good.
So, you know, you're going on a big trip soon. And are you going down a river at all?
Did you Monday. Say you're going No. We're going to Machu Picchu. But actually, in a way we are, because the train to Machu Picchu, which goes from Cusco, is along the Urubamba River, which is a beautiful rushing river.
Okay. I actually just tweeted something like this, and I tagged you in it because I CNN did a story on that. But that's a totally different story. This one, my website is called bookahouseboat.com.
Oh, you know, I have... friend of mine, the morning man in the KFI, is doing a barge in France.
Those are supposed to be amazing. Yeah. They're much more intimate. I think there's only six couples on those usually.
Yeah, it comes with a chef and all this. I want to know more about that. Bill Handel's doing that. Yeah.
I would love to do that. So this is actually a really great way to save money because, you know, I found one for Paris for $144 a night, and it's right there across from the Eiffel Tower.
So you stay, instead of an apartment or a hotel, you stay in a houseboat.
You do, and they have little kitchens, and a washing machine. That's one I found. They have internet.
I would love to do this. In fact, it's funny because when you go to Amsterdam, there are a lot of cities with canals. We always take boat rides, and you see these wonderful houseboats. And I always think, well, how could I stay? I would like to stay in a houseboat.
That's exactly it. Some of them are on Airbnb, but this company is actually based out of Amsterdam. These guys live in Amsterdam on a houseboat, and now they have close to 250 of these floating homes all around the world.
Including Crane Lake, Minnesota.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But they have Amsterdam, Berlin, Paris, London, Buenos Aires.
They're so picturesque. You know, they have... Oh, I just would love to stay in one of those houseboats. That's neat.
Yes, it's a great – I mean, listen, you can also live like a local because you know, you have a kitchen, you can go to the grocery store, save money. Yeah. You know, when you travel, a lot of the money goes towards, you know, eating out.
Right.
And
cook.
So
just cook for yourself.
Cook or go to the grocery store and have a picnic somewhere.
Oh yeah.
But if you're on a houseboat, they say they have the best views of anyone because you're looking at the river.
Well, Johnny, I know that Natalie and Jack are dying for a cookout or a picnic. It's lunchtime. Are you going to get spread a blanket in D.C.? And
it's actually 3:30 here.
Oh, that's right. You're on the East Coast. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. So we're
Jack,
about to have dinner.
Jack brings lunch with him anyway, right?
He sure does. Brother's mama.
Well, have a wonderful time at the IPW conference. Are you going to speak there? Can people see?
No, I'm not speaking here. This is an industry event. I'm just trying to, you know, bring in tourism to the U.S. And
it's,
you know,
down.
My big thing is,
apparently it's down quite a bit because people
is,
are afraid
sure.
of coming here. So we got to do
they
what we
so
can to help the tourist industry.
And that's why I'm here.
Good, good. Powered by U.S. Travel. Nice. Thank you,
yes.
Johnny. Johnny Jett. You'll find him at johnnyjett.com or at a J.W. Marriott near you. Borrowing. Well, stealing. Wi-Fi. You can't really give back Wi-Fi, so you can't borrow it. It's not like beer or something. So thank you, Johnny. If you go to his website, johnnyjett.com, he's got a great travel newsletter. He's got travel search. He's got all sorts of stuff. And, of course, all the things he talks about. If you follow him on Twitter, he always tweets the links, too, at Johnny Jett, plus lots of great information. And if you follow his Instagram, you'll see pictures, too. And I always enjoy the pictures. Johnny,
thank you
for being here. I appreciate it.
And I hope
it.
You have a great trip.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm nervous that they're going to ban laptops while I'm gone. That's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen because they're more dangerous in the cargo hold than they are in the cabin.
You know what? I found out Emirates does because that ban is on.
They put them in a separate cargo?
Yeah, when you arrive, so you don't check it with your bags. When you get to the gate, they have a special metal container. They give you a tag. They put it in this special metal container. You watch them put it in. You watch them seal the container so there's no chance of it getting stolen or manipulated in some way. And then when you get off the plane, just like when you have the hand luggage getting on and off of a plane, they give it back to you as you depart the plane. I think that's a good way to do it. I hope the U.S. airlines are ready. Our friend Mike Elgin, who is a big traveler, says, as a business or an individual, you should be prepared. He said they may not do it now, but if there is an incident on a plane, they will do it overnight.
Without a doubt.
And so you should be thinking about that. Actually, you know what? I think maybe next week I'll talk about what I've done to protect myself during overseas travel with my electronic devices. JohnnyJett.com. Thank you, John. Get back in the car.
Care.
Are your wife and kid in the car outside?
No, they're just grabbing a coffee.
Oh, good.
Tea at Starbucks.
Right. Well, that's even better. Thank you, Johnny Jett. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have fun. I love it. Honey, we just got to run in here for a minute.
I try to be on time every week.
You're the greatest. No, I really appreciate it. Thank you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. Give me a ring. Let's talk high tech. Terry on the line from Burbank, California, our next caller. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Do you remember me?
Sure.
Of course you do. Welcome to the
Imagineer. No, of course I remember you, Terry. What's up?
Okay. So I had to call you. I've been trying to call you for weeks, and my timing is just not good. So, of course, when I was driving in my car, I said, let me just try it. I'll be dialing it.
It's a miracle.
It's
a modern miracle.
Yeah, well, here's another one. You advised me to contact Microsoft. I'm the one who told you that I had a MacBook Air from 2009, and you said, yeah, it's probably about time you get a new one. And I said I couldn't decide and was asking you your advice. And your advice was to call Microsoft and have them send me one. And they did.
Microsoft sent you a laptop?
They sent me a Surface Book with
and they did that for free?
Yeah, they sent it to me to test for 3 months.
Oh, nice.
I'm actually asking to test it for a couple more because I'm actually going to China and to Hong Kong to be at Disneyland and report on those two Disneylands to my fan base, et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
So Microsoft sees this as a good publicity stunt. Like,
yeah,
Terry's going to be changing from Mac to Windows. You know what?
Exactly.
I did the same. Exactly. I can't believe they sent you one. I'm glad they did. Yeah. I did the same thing myself, although I had to pay for it. I was very disappointed, as you've heard me say before, with the new Mac Pros. So for my trip, I bought a Lenovo Yoga, and I've been very happy with it. It's a very nice device. Well, Windows isn't that bad, is it?
I was scared, Leo. I kept saying, Leo, just ask. So I called, and then I had to go through the screening process. And they were like, your footprint on the internet is not as big. And I go, well, it's not as big as Leo's, and it's not as big as you know, Johnny's, and it's not going to be like that. But I'll tell you, I did one hell of a testimonial.
There you go. There you
and
go.
They were like, okay, how would you do it? And I said, well, I'm filming myself. I'm filming and talking to people about my transfer from going Windows.
Oh, that's perfect.
Going to Windows from Mac.
Well, let's give you a plug so Microsoft gets their money's worth. Where can we follow all of this?
Well, you can follow me on Facebook at Terry Harden Jackson. I have a Terry Harden fan page, but the best thing to do is just Google Terry Harden.
H-A-R-D-I-N.
H-A-R-D-I-N. T-E-R-R-I. But, Leo, I had to call you and say,
I'm so glad you did this, Terry. And then the other question I have is, because you're an Imagineer.
Yes.
How do you like touch and the pen? I would think that for your work, that would be really great.
I have to tell you my biggest, and you may or may not remember this, but my biggest concern was I didn't need five things.
Right.
I travel very quickly.
Right.
I wanted sort of an all-in-one. I love my little iPad Air. I'm not an iPad Pro girl, too big. Don't like it. So I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And you said the Surface Book, and I wanted something a little more. Actually, you recommended me the big laptop one. I mean, the big desktop one. And that just, I said.
That's not portable. You'd put that on your desk at work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they gave me this hefty thing, and it's just amazing. It's a little bit heavy for me, but I really don't care. I love the idea. And the thing you got to be careful of is that pin attached to the side. You get kind of excited that you're...
It's held by a magnet, but it's not the strongest magnet ever, is it?
It's not. And so when it's gone, you go, oh, no, did I drop it?
I know. Apparently, in the new Surface Pros, which Microsoft announced in Shanghai this past week or two, the magnet's much stronger. They obviously were not the only people with these problems. So people, follow your travels. Where are you going next, Terry?
Well, I'm actually going to China. I'm going to go to China on June 25th, and we're going to Hong Kong first. I'm a guest at Hong Kong Disney, where we will stream live and talk about the experiences through the eyes of an Imagineer.
Nice.
And then we're also going to go to Shanghai, because I built rides and attractions. You can actually ride my work in Paris, Florida, and Japan.
Which ride is your ride, Terry?
Okay, so if you go to Walt Disney World and you step in the Splash Mountain boat, that's mine.
No kidding.
Rabbit, that's mine.
That's awesome.
And then, yes, and if you go to Paris and you ride Big Thunder, I'm not going to say it was all mine, but I was on a team of two people that designed that.
I love Big Thunder. I love Big Thunder.
Yes,
yeah.
The best one is
nice.
In Paris.
No kidding.
You go underneath the water and come up on an island.
So what do you go to the office?
I don't anymore.
Okay.
What I do now is I'm kind of like the tide. When they need somebody to do what I do, they'll call me up and go, hey, you want to come? And I'll say yes or no.
And what do they use at the office?
At the office, they can't make up their mind. They have been jumping back and forth between Mac and...
Me too.
Yeah, like me.
All of us, because Apple seems to be leaving professional users like Disney Imagineers behind.
Well, and when you're at Disney, I'm sorry, it's a very luxurious job. So, like, you can have an iPad Pro.
Oh, I'm sure they give you whatever you want. And let's not forget that Apple and Disney have very close relations. Steve Jobs sold Pixar to Disney, and his widow Lorraine is the largest stockholder in Disney in the world. So they're very tight relationships.
You pretty much, this is the beauty of being with the Disney company, is all you have to do is drop that word. And a lot of times people will send you tons of stuff, especially
of course.
From the office.
Who wouldn't send an Imagineer anything they wanted?
Yeah, she was showing me, I have the iPad Pro, I have the Wacom Companion, nice. And then at home I have the Wacom blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, you know what? Even if I could, I don't want that on that real estate personally.
What software do you use for doing your puppets or for doing the rides? Do you just use a painting program or do you use 3D software?
Well, you're going to kind of laugh because I use what to edit my videos. I use Premiere. My husband's an editor and he says,
Premiere's the good one.
Use Premiere and I love it. I've done several videos with it.
Once you've learned it, it's easy. It's learning it that's hard. Yeah.
Exactly. And he's right there to help me not dream. I mean, I'm not going to tell your listeners that it was an easy crossover. It's a challenge all the time for me, but I walk away from it, take a breather, have a cup of coffee, whatever, go back. To illustrate, I love Sketchbook Pro.
Yeah,
I love
that's it. The and Autodesk.
Everybody's been trying to get me to go to something else. I don't like it as well. And I tried to do GIMP because I thought it'd be nice. Something free. Yeah. Photoshop is my thing.
Right.
So I just love Photoshop. I can do it. I made my first brochure, which all on the surface did my first brochure.
Sketchbook on the surface. Sketchbook is kind of made for the surface. That seems like a match.
It's amazing. And I just love you can detach and hold it by itself, or you can, you know, flip it around, knock it back so it's like a drawing desk. You can flat do it all the way.
Yeah, see, I think this is designed for people like you. The new Surface, did they give you a new one or a Surface Pro 4?
I think they gave me the full. Yeah. Well, they gave me was the 5.
The new one is interesting. You know, it has that kickstand, and then the original surfaces, it really was one angle. The new one, the kickstand has a continuous opening to the point where you could get it to 18 degrees, the same kind of like the drafting table, the same angle as a Surface Studio. And I think that would be really great for an illustrator or a designer like you.
And the one I got is the big hefty one, one that has the keyboard and everything.
Not you got the Surface Book. That's what you got. Okay.
Yeah.
But you can still detach the screen. Yeah.
You detach the screen. You can use it separate so it feels like an iPad Pro. But I just love it. And the touch screen, I mean, thank God they did the touch screen because that was the one thing I was worried about going back to Windows. Because back in my day, and I apologize, it did not work that way. And now that it works that way, it is just lovely to be able to draw on that screen, to be able to move it with my fingers, to detach it, to flip it, to turn it. It angles as well.
I think Microsoft just got their money's worth at it.
Oh my God.
You, Terry.
I may not have the best footprint on the internet. But listen,
you got a decent footprint.
You put me on any show, and if I like it, of course. If I don't, I'm equally as venomous. But I love it,
Terry. I got to run, but it was great talking to you, and I'm so glad that worked out. I think it's an interesting story. Hang on, I got to run. I'll continue talking to you off the air. But Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls right after this. Sorry, I had to run on that one, but I'm still here.
I get that.
And we're still on the air in a way because the podcast continues and there's people watching live. So,
well, honestly, Leo, I was saying that, you know, if you need me to check in, I'll do my best to try again.
Well, you did, and I'm glad you did. And you know what? You're kind of confirming what I think is happening, which is especially now that we're using apps that work the same on Mac and PC, and a lot of what we do is on the cloud. There isn't this great divide anymore, and you're going to use the hardware that works best for you. And I do think touch is really important, at least for you.
For me, I'm not. My husband is really good with the drawing on something and seeing it on the screen.
Yeah, that takes a while to get used to. It's kind of
a pen and paper girl.
Yeah,
so it just doesn't work the same for me.
Is the stylus fast enough for you? Is the
It's doing pretty well.
Okay.
It's doing pretty well, and I designed this. I mean, I've designed some super cool, creative things. I do a lot of charity work, and I've just been really working very hard on it. I had a little trouble, like I said, with this operating system because it is very different.
Yeah,
and the way it looks is very different. But I'm practicing every day, and I mean, it's amazing what you can find on YouTube when you're like, "Oh, help me! I don't know what the heck this is." You go on YouTube, and somebody has already helped you with.
That's so neat.
Right up what your problem is. Your problem is this.
I'm so glad that worked out for you. I
I
never would have done it without you.
Well, I'm kind of surprised I said it.
You did.
It seems like a long shot, but it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Sunday, the last call of the day, and it was actually last year. They were not grilling me, but they were interviewing me for about 4 months to qualify me. And every time they told me, like, they would go, your platform seems a little weak. And I go, yeah, but my testimonials are
well, send them the recording of this show. That's a decent platform. Oh, you were at Maker Faire. I could have seen you. I missed you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, I'm there next time. I actually gave a talk.
Oh, rats.
And people just, I'm there next year. So if you're there next year.
Yeah, we had a little booth there just, but I was only there on Friday. But rats.
Honestly, Leo, friend me up. And if you want me to come on to help you out in any way, I am more than willing to do it because I'm so, so thankful for you. I was not going to quit.
I'm going to get through because
I thought you get all these, this is what you do. You're the tech guy. You're the troubleshooter. But I thought you should know that I would not have done this if it hadn't been.
It worked.
You saying, Terry, why don't you go for
it? I couldn't be more pleased.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I think I can get them to give it to me at least for a discount because I think I don't want to separate from it now.
Well, I think what you should do is get the new one. That's what you should do. That's what you should do.
Found this off
by
the
Terry, pleasure talking to you again. I do remember you, and I'm really thrilled that that worked out.
I just can't believe it. I mean, like I said, my heart was beating like a rabbit. I have to tell you, Leo said to do it. Believe.
It's gutsy. It's gutsy. I don't know if I would have had the guts to do it. It's easy for me to tell somebody to do it. I don't know if I would have done it myself. Good for you.
People are offering you all the time. And then I thought, well, this girl's an artist, blah, blah, blah. What does she need to do it? And I was like, hey, guys, I'm going from, like you said, Mac to Windows. If I like it, I'll be telling you why I like it.
Yeah, yeah, no. I think they're smart to do that. I think that was a good move on their part. Yeah.
And I told them anything else they need, I'm at their service because if I like it, then
good for you.
Of course I'm going to share it with people.
Well, this will be on the podcast. You could take a little chunk of the podcast out and send it to them. I would if I were you.
I will definitely do that. I'll look it up. I'll look up, I've been
meaning. Tell them you were on a national radio show on 200 stations, a million listeners, and they heard you singing the praises.
And I did mention you in the beginning. I think that's probably what rolled them
off. Oh, I don't know if they know who I am.
I'm going to call you up, and I'm going to tell them. So now I can prove that I did. That wasn't just blowing smoke.
That's right.
You're
well, that is probably the case, is that your homework now is to give them clippings and stuff to show them that you did get them some benefit. And at that point, I think you'd be on a permanent loan situation.
And the nice
thing about the permanent loans is that you get a new one every time there's a new one, they just go, we're going to send you the new one, send back the old one.
And if that happens, you're getting another call. When that happens, you're getting another call. Because
Thank you, Terry.
I can't stress enough. It was because of you. I would have never done it.
Good.
So I want to thank you. And
my pleasure. I'm so glad you called back.
You're
awesome, man. I don't get a lot of feedback over what stuff works and doesn't work. So it's nice every once in a while. Sometimes people call and they go, Leo, you told me to do this and it didn't go so well. But
yeah, people always will do that. And that's why I wanted to let you
thank
know.
Thank you.
And like I said, Google me, contact me if you want. You're bored, you just want to chat or whatever.
I just liked your page and I'm following you now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Seriously, man. I'll see what you're up to next time.
I won't miss you at Maker Faire.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff from China and from Shanghai.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
And then later, Alaska. So I'm also
wait a minute.
Alaska.
Disney's opening Alaska Disneyland.
No. They have an Alaskan cruise, and I'm taking the
On the Disney cruise. Oh, what fun!
So we'll be chatting that up.
The Alaska cruise is so much fun. You're going to love it.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. So as you can see, I'm on the move. So I'm really, really going to be talking about it and talking about you all the time and how it was you. I tell everybody.
You don't have to talk me up, but I'm glad it's working.
Leo told me.
No, you don't have to do that. Thanks, Terry.
I love you, man.
I love you, too. Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Take care. Next time I ride on the jungle boats or whatever, the Thunder Railroad, I'll think of you. Did Terry design this train? That's pretty funny. Well, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, Disney rides, tablets, phones. What else have we talked about today? Oh, ad problems, adware problems. You know, there was a big, I was reading a story in, let me see, where was this? About adware. Checkpoint, which is a security firm from Israel, Checkpoint, discovered that there a Chinese digital marketing company named Raffotech is behind a wave of ad malware or adware that got on the computers of millions of users. As many as 250 million people got something called Fireball. And maybe you're one of them. It hijacks your browser, and it's kind of an interesting hijack. It's not a virus in the sense it does something malicious. Well, I guess this is kind of malicious. It hijacks your browser, but does nothing except divert search queries. Instead of going directly to Google.com, you go through Google and Yahoo affiliates, and that means the Chinese company gets money. And yeah, maybe it's a penny a search, but it adds up if you can click check 250 million users. The way Raffotech spreads its adware is they bundle it with legitimate software. You've seen this. In fact, it's one of the reasons I say be very careful when you download software from these software aggregators, you know, like download.com. In fact, it's really shameful. Download.com is owned by CNET, which is owned by CBS. So it ought to have a higher standard, but I strongly recommend against getting software from download.com because they wrap it in a special installer that installs other stuff. And, they say, well, it asks you, but it does it. It's kind of sneaky. Always get software from the original company's website. And even then, be very careful when you're running an installer. Anytime you're running an installer, read everything carefully and uncheck boxes that say, install special ad toolbar and things like that. So apparently this is how Raffotech got on 250 million computers. Most affected countries are India with 25 million infections, then Brazil. Brazil and India, a lot of computers. Mexico and Indonesia, the U.S., had 5.5 million infections, according to Checkpoint. Shameful. Shameful. And it's, but what I find shameful, it's bad enough that this Chinese company is doing it, but that they're enabled then by, and I don't know if download.com did it. They do other things, similar things. I don't know who was doing this, but really, that's not okay. The Fireball adware. By the way, it could do worse. According to Checkpoint, it also had actually Bleeping Computer is talking about this. A great site. I recommend it. Bleepingcomputer.com. Apparently, there are what they would call Trojan capabilities, backdoor Trojan capabilities, which means if Fireball could be misused to allow the Chinese company that created it to push and execute any file to your computer, which means they could take over your computer. So admittedly, all they're doing right now is redirecting searches, but they could do a lot worse. So just a word of warning. Be really careful when you install software and watch carefully to make sure it's not installing other things. And careful what links you click and email attachments. We talk a lot about being secure, and there's really two things that matter. One is keeping your system up to date and all the software on it up to date. That's number one. But number two is being kind of suspicious. I hate to make people be suspicious, but you got to. You got to kind of think twice, and the activity you're worried about is running a program, a malicious program on your computer. So if you keep it up to date, all your software up to date, that makes it hard for somebody to run a malicious program on your computer without your help. Flaws in operating systems, in browsers, And in browser plugins like Flash can make it possible for a bad guy to run a program on your computer without your knowledge. But if you keep those patched, then, and this is far more common, then he's got to trick you into running his software on your computer, either by embedding it into a installer, and it might even pop up a thing that says, you want our special software, or not. Or tricking you into running something by sending you perhaps an email attachment that says, you know, this is the IRS. Please open this document and verify, because otherwise we're going to start taking money out of your checking account. You know, they try to get you scared. They try to get you moving fast so you don't think. And so that's why I'm always constantly inveighing against email attachments. That's really dangerous, because most of the time when you get an email attachment, even especially from someone you know, it's not what you think it is. It's not a document. It's bad stuff. It's a program the bad guy's tricking you into running. Same thing if you're on Facebook and you get a message from a friend. This is important, because people say, well, I know this person. They wouldn't do anything bad. Yeah, but your friend's account's been hijacked. In fact, if you go along with this, your account will be hijacked and your friends will get this message from you. So don't, just because it seems to come from a friend, whether it's an email or a message, don't assume that. And what they'll do, if it's, you know, I've mentioned this before because I love it and I see it all the time. Oh, you won't believe what you did last night. Oh, my gosh. I've got video, though. You go, last night? I thought I was home last night. Did I black out? What happened? Joe would never send me maybe Joe's playing. It's a trick from Joe. So Joe sent you this, right? So you open the video. But then you go, it goes to a page that looks just like YouTube. It looks just like YouTube. Oh, it must be here. And then it says, oh, your Flash is out of date. You got to update Flash. Well, that we've seen that 100 times, right? So you say, okay. You download the software. You run it to update Flash. And then it says, oh, something went wrong. I don't know. We can't play the video. Bye. Except that wasn't Flash. It didn't update your Flash. You put malware on your system. Again, the bad guy's trying to trick you into running a program on your computer. He'll do it without your permission if he finds a vulnerability, so patch. And if your system's secure and patched, he'll trick you. And this is why I often say, don't assume that an antivirus is going to protect you. I think people often think, well, I'm all right. I got security software like crazy. I got all the security software on here. There's nothing, no bad guy can do anything wrong with me. Well, that's wrong, because no security software is going to stop you from running a program. It's security software has to assume you know what you're doing, or it would be a pain in the butt, right? How long would you run a security program that said, I'm sorry, you can't open that attachment. I'm sorry, you can't go to that link. I'm sorry, you can't download that software. That's what it should do if it were really secure. But it can't do that, because you'd say, well, I'm getting rid of you. Thanks for nothing. So security software assumes you're the human. You want to open that link? Okay. Sometimes, maybe, you know, one time in three, the security software will say, oh, you just installed a virus. A lot of good that is. Too late. But it doesn't always do it for a couple of reasons. One, because viruses spread faster than security software can keep up. Two, because one of the first things viruses and malware do is disable security software. That's very common, right? Well, let's make sure he doesn't get any warnings. That's why it's up to you. There's no program that can protect you. Microsoft does everything it can with Windows. Apple does everything it can with Mac, and often it's successful. But ultimately, how you behave is the most important thing. Be careful out there. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. All these critical patches that are coming from Microsoft, you know, at least once a month, often more often, almost all of them are about protecting you against software that will trick you. Not get you to run something, but will, for instance, clickjacking is a very common form, where it overlays on top of a web page something, you know, it sends you, you know, you get sent to a bad web page, but it overlays on top of it something that looks like a normal Google login, so you log in, but meanwhile, it's stealing that information. That happens on Android phones. That's a big problem lately on Android phones. malware is embedded in Flash or PDF that relies on a flaw in the Flash player or the PDF reader, if you have that combination, you know, have an unupdated Flash player, unupdated, say, PDF reader, then what looks like a document will trigger something. You haven't run anything, you know, explicitly, but of course, bad guys are always looking for ways to run automatically. And that's mostly what software companies are patching. When they have critical, you know, flaws, they're patching vulnerabilities that allow bad guys into your computer without any action on your part. That's the holy grail. But notice, for instance, WannaCry required action on your part. Well, the way people got WannaCry is opening an email attachment. And then it took advantage of a flaw in Windows that allowed it to spread over the network without anybody doing anything. So once you installed WannaCry, at that point, it did have a capability discovered by the NSA and released by the shadow brokers, thank you very much, to spread over the network without anybody else doing anything. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. Bob in Santa Barbara, you're next. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Leo, how are you today?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm calling you on my broken iPhone 7 Plus.
Broken how?
The screen. I had it on the back of our love seat, and it fell exactly flat onto the ground. It's in a case. It's got a hardcover glass cover. Shattered.
Had it hit anywhere else, it would be fine.
Yep. Not even on the corner. It just landed right flat.
Well, that's the problem. You know, all of these devices have glass. You can protect everything, but you need the access to the screen. And if it hits, you know, and glass is brittle. If it hits something just right, smash. Sorry that happened.
Exactly. Yeah, but here's two things. One is I thought I heard before I bought the 7 Plus for a rough total of $900 you know, on the plan that they were going to use the new Gorilla Glass because the iPhone 6 were kind of bending and breaking.
Yes.
When I called them the other day, they said, oh, no, no, no.
Well, Apple doesn't like to say they use Gorilla Glass because then that would make the iPhone like a lot of other phones. But I think they do. The story is Corning, which created Gorilla Glass, was about to close the Gorilla Glass factory because nobody wanted it until Apple came along with the original iPhone and said, oh, you got that glass? Could we buy some? And it put Corning in business and made Gorilla Glass the success it is. And Corning keeps improving Gorilla Glass. Now, it's possible Apple has by now figured out a way to do it themselves, but I bet not. I'm pretty sure they're still using Gorilla Glass, but Apple doesn't want anybody to know that. Yeah. However, Gorilla Glass still, I mean, glass is glass. It's a materials science issue. If you have something that is hard to scratch, it tends to be brittle and shatter. Remember, I don't know if you ever got eyeglasses made with lenses made of plastic. For a while, that was all the rage because it doesn't break. But guess what it does? It scratches. It's why we have glass windows, not plastic windows. And so that's just a material science issue. And the harder a material is, the less scratchable it is. But hit just right, it can shatter. Now, you know, that's why Apple was very interested in sapphire, which is as hard or harder than it's actually more like a diamond. It's at the hardness. It's at the number 10 on the hardness scale. But it's very hard to make glass as panels as big as an iPhone out of sapphire. And so they changed their minds.
And expensive. But here's my big problem with it. So I bought this phone 4 months ago. And the carrier, which I pay $899 insurance for, my deductible to repair this is $225.
Yeah, that's normal. Yeah. You didn't think the insurance company was going to give it away, did you?
No, but I was...
How do you think they build those big buildings downtown?
Yeah, but wouldn't $100 be reasonable?
Well, I don't know what reasonable is, but that's what they charge.
Well, that ain't reasonable.
No. The insurance industry is a very, very lucrative industry. They do quite well, thank you.
Yes, they do.
And they do it by charging you exorbitant premiums and then high deductibles and, whenever possible, denying you coverage.
Are we talking medical or are we talking phones now?
It's the same business.
It is the same.
It's the same. You know, people often say to me, oh, you got to protect your privacy. You wouldn't want the insurance company to deny you insurance because you eat donuts. And what I say is, no, they ask you, do you eat donuts on the questionnaire? And if you lie, they hope you lie. They hope you lie, because then if you die of a heart attack, they can deny you coverage.
Well, he ate donuts. And he told us explicitly he didn't eat donuts.
So I wouldn't, you know, yeah, that's 200. Now, Apple's is $200. So you got a third party, probably got a third party insurance, or maybe that was a tax as well.
Yeah, and Santa Barbara hasn't gotten the new 7 Plus screens yet, so it'd be another month or two.
So, well, Apple, that's the other thing Apple does. I'm shaking my fist right now, is they don't make it easy for third-party repair people to get parts. They deny them the parts. They want you to go to Apple to get the parts. And one of the things that will happen if you get a third-party screen replacement is your fingerprint, your Touch ID will stop working.
Oh.
So you don't ever – well, you can save money with third-party replacement, but you generally want to do it with Apple.
Right, because I love the fingerprint part. That's the easiest thing there is.
And their rationale for this is, well, as soon as you've got, you know, when you replace the screen, you replace the fingerprint ID, the Touch ID, that secure store is compromised. We don't know how it's been, we no longer have control of it, so we can't use it because we don't trust it. By the way, Apple apparently invested $200 million in Corning last month.
Wow.
So I think they probably are still using Gorilla Glass.
I bet you so. Maybe they'll give me some glass to try out for free.
Yes, it is Gorilla Glass. They don't want anybody to know that. Apple. So you didn't buy Apple Care Plus? You didn't buy the Apple Care replacement? You bought some,
well,
like...
Funny, the AT or the carrier did tell me I would save money by going and buying my Apple Care for $129 and getting my screen repaired for $29.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can get 2 incidents per 2 years.
So. Yeah. And there, you know, there you go. But you didn't do that.
No, of course not. I'm national radio. I wouldn't do
it. By the way, I don't do it either. I do what's called self-insure because I just figure, well, and I very rarely break phones. Now, if you're somebody who breaks phones a lot, I think Apple Care Plus is a pretty good deal. But remember, even Apple's not taking a loss on that.
Nobody's taking a loss.
Nobody's taking a loss except us.
Right, exactly.
That's called capitalism at work.
Yeah.
Welcome to the real world.
I like it when it goes in my favor.
I always tell my kids, when you go to Vegas, notice the size and opulence of the casino. Where do you think that money comes from? Mm-hmm. Not me. I don't gamble. I actually do think Apple Care Plus is a pretty good deal. Probably Apple doesn't make a lot of money on it it's a profit center, but I'm sure that they reduce the profit margin as much as they can because it's good PR. You know, they want people to be happy. In fact, a lot of times you can bring something in that's broken to the Apple store if you bought it there. And they will just kind of, sometimes the genius has a lot of leeway. Sometimes the genius will go, yeah, that's too bad. I told my daughter when she breaks her phone probably every 3 or 4 months. Nothing I can do about it. She's 25. Soon she'll be paying for them and she won't break them anymore. But anyway, I always say to her, well, we'll go to the Apple store and cry. Just go, I lost my phone. It's broke. I need it. And often, you know, that's more than half the time it works. Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes they go, yeah, right. Well, I remember you from last time, so that'll be $200, please. Puppy eyes work when you get to the Apple store. 8888 to ask Leo. I don't know where you got your insurance. That's not probably the best price, $225. And remember, if it's a third-party replacement, that can cause you more problems down the road. I generally, if you're buying Apple gear, you're buying into the Apple way of life, which means you're buying into Apple repair and Apple insurance and all of that. Everything, all Apple, all the time. That's just the way it is. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. But don't lie to the genius. Remember when I dunked my iPhone? I got that, whatever that treatment was, that would make it waterproof, supposedly. So I put in a glass of water, and it broke. And so I brought it to the Apple store. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's a little devil on my shoulder saying you shouldn't tell him. Just say, you know, I don't know what happened. But no, I was very honest. And it's a good thing because, you know, after I said, yeah, it got wet. And he first thing he does, he looks in the headphone jack. That's back when they had headphone jacks. He looks in the headphone jack and says, yeah, it got wet. Because there's a little strip in there. And I said, yeah, I did it on purpose. I put in a glass of water. He said, no, I know. I saw it. I watched it. So had I lied, he would have said, now, Leo, we know how it got wet. Barney, New York City. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Barney.
Hello, Barney.
Hey, that's me.
That's you. That's you.
My God, you caught me by surprise. The phone in my back pocket.
I know you've probably been on hold for an hour and a half, and I apologize. Thank you for being patient. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I kind of figured. Anyway, here's the deal.
Yeah,
I travel. We travel a lot for leisure, and when I get to a hotel, you know, part of the check-in process is, and here's the Wi-Fi code, sir. Blah
right.
blah blah.
Right.
And I go upstairs, and when I turn on, you know, it's like I go into my phone or my computer or whatever, and it shows Holiday Inn, blah blah blah, is there, you know, and it says, you know, you click on it, and it goes connected, and it's connected. Well, it says it's connected, but you don't have any internet service. Because you haven't gotten to that screen
right.
that says, I agree.
Right.
And half the time, I can get that screen. You know, it just pops up it naturally. Just,
are you on an iOS device when you do that?
I'm not sure what it, when you say...
Like an iPhone or an iPad, or is it a laptop?
It's either it's an Android phone.
Yeah.
Or an old Nexus.
So I'll explain what's going on. I'll explain what's going on to you. It's not a. It's the problem is, it's what we call a captive portal, and it really is a broken system. But it's the only system we've got because they want to get your you know agreement, your sign up, sometimes your money before they let you use the internet. But before they can do that, you need to have to join the Wi-Fi access point. So both Android and iOS do something that isn't really part of the internet standard. They create a captive portal. They actually do it often through Apple.com. If you looked at the address of the captive portal, it's often through not the hotel or the internet service provider, but through the hardware company's portal because it's complicated, but they're tricking the phone. Now, the problem is people are impatient, and the captive portal can take a while for that whole process to work, like a couple of minutes. You can read about this if you want to know more. Of course, just Google captive portal or read the captive portal article on Wikipedia.
Okay.
It is you just have to wait because you're right. You're not going to have internet access until you agree, until you see that page. And right. Most of the time, people are impatient. What'll happen is it's a redirect that just takes a long time, and sometimes it breaks. In which case, you should get off the network and get on it again, and then just sit and wait. Sometimes it's enough. This is a little trick on iOS. You launch the browser and you go to captive.apple.com, and that can sometimes trigger it. I don't know what the URL is for Android. It's a redirect. Yes. But that's why I asked if you were on an Apple device, because that's a cute little trick.
Down below the Google thing, you know. I have a dozen windows that I can click on to bring up. And
well, you just have to wait. I mean, it'll come up. Sometimes you can open a browser. Sometimes not. It's a broken system. It is not actually part of... the internet spec. It's a hack, or what we sometimes call in the business a kludge, and as with most hacks or kludges, it doesn't always work. Somebody in the chat room saying, try going to localhost. That sometimes works. When you're on an iOS device, usually captive.apple.com will work. I don't know if there's a trick on Android. It's just a broken system. There's got to be a better way, but we don't do it. But as you figured out, there's no point in going on if you can't get that page. You're not on the internet. What you've basically done is you've joined the Wi-Fi router, but you haven't given it the keys to put you on the internet. Everybody's got a little trick they use. You know, you could try opening a browser and surfing to a site, see if that helps. It's really annoying. I agree with you. It doesn't always work. In which case, just, you know, get off the Wi-Fi, restart your Wi-Fi. Just keep doing it until you get on. It's technically what we call a man in the middle. The hotel is the man in the middle. Richard in West L.A., Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Good to talk with you. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you.
You have made some comments about space on phones, and I think you once said that moving apps to card, it does not save space. Is that true?
No, that's not true. It does save space if you can do it. This is, of course, something only available on Android. It's interesting to note that the way Google does it on their latest phones is they don't have an SD card slot. They just have extended memory in the phone because SD has never worked very well. One of the limitations of moving an application to the SD card, for instance, is it breaks widgets. So if your app needs to have an on-screen widget, you can't have it on the SD card. Other apps break for other reasons, so it's not a predictable experience. But if you can move it, it's not a bad idea. The other way, the other workaround that Google offered, I don't know if they're still doing it. They're doing it. They offered it, I think, in Marshmallow, was something called adopted memory, where you would use the operating system to pretend, it would trick the operating system in thinking the SD card was part of its main memory, using an adopted memory technique. I don't think it worked very well. Samsung decided not to do it on their phones, but other manufacturers do. And as I said, Google does not on its Android phones. It's just all one big piece. So no, if you can move it, and it works, then you're good.
Well, when I've done it, though, I don't see any change in the amount of space, forgive the terminology, that is now available, the same as it was before on the phone.
Remember, apps aren't all that big. The biggest usage of storage on the phone is data. So if you can, if you have an SD card, the best thing to do is make sure the apps you use, like, for instance, the camera app, store photos and videos on the SD card. And that will be the bigger savings. So maybe you do move an app over, but that's only a few hundred megabytes, and then there's gigabytes of space used by the app's data, for instance.
I see.
Yeah, so you need to get the data, the app and the data moved, and you can't always do that. It's
right.
It's not, remember that word kludge? Here's another one.
Right.
And Apple doesn't offer SD cards. Google doesn't offer SD cards. When Microsoft first made Windows phones, they had SD cards, but they said don't use them because they're not working right. I don't know why, but it's a hard thing to do. So if you can move them and it works okay, go ahead and move them. Make sure the data goes along with it. And remember that data is what uses up most of the space on your phone. The apps themselves aren't as big as the data. So I have music saved. When I use Amazon to download all my music, I say, if I can, I can't remember if I can. I think I can. I say, put it on the SD card. It's a good thing to keep in mind when you buy a phone and you buy an SD card that it won't be the panacea. It's not going to solve all your storage needs. More and more, I think people, even Apple, are recognizing that you really ought to get a 32 gig or a 64 gig phone. And for most people, if you could get 64 gigs of storage in a phone, that would be enough. It's funny. 10 years ago, if I'd said that, people would have said, do you mean megs? You mean megabytes? Not gigabytes. Couldn't be gigabytes. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Today's Tech Guy program brought to you by a company called Wistia. I don't know if you've heard of them, but you ought to, especially if your business uses video for marketing, for training, for customer retention. Everybody knows, video is a great platform. It really captures people's minds, their imagination. They love video. But if you're going to do corporate video, branded video. You want it to be branded with your brand, not some other company's brand. You don't want it to say, but you, having your video on YouTube would be like having an email account at AOL.com. You got to have your own video. And that's where Wistia is so great. It's a video hosting platform that gives you more than anybody else. You get analytics, you get video marketing tools. That's why more than 300,000 businesses use Wistia, including Starbucks, HubSpot. So these guys are marketing experts. Cirque du Soleil. They all use Wistia as their video hosting platform. You're going to get a player you can brand. So, you know, it's white labeled. So it looks like your video and your player. You get all the information you could want about analytics, including heat maps, which shows you where people are looking, trend graphs, engagement graphs. You can actually capture email addresses with the video that you make. So it's great for marketing. It even integrates with marketing automation software you already use, like Marketo, Pardot. Friendly support service people there whenever you need it. Those other guys don't even have support. Free resources that let you use video across your business, even if you've never made a video before. They'll help you get up and running. Increase visibility, boost conversion rates, power your sales team with Wistia. WISTIA.com. Start your free account right now. With a free account, you get 3 video uploads, advanced video analytics, all the features integration built in with business in mind. This is a great way to dip your toe in video with Wistia. WISTIA.com. Get started today. And we thank them so much for their support of our Tech Guy show. Wow. He plays a mighty mouth harp. That's Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer and harmonica player.
Yeah.
Dick DiBartolo. Wow, he can even talk while he's playing the harmonica. It's amazing.
I have a man of many talents.
Doesn't the big bushy mustache kind of get, you know, in the way?
A little bit.
It's all right. You can have a little hair in your harmonica. Dick also, besides being Mad's maddest writer and a brilliant humorist, and the author of Good Days and Mad, which everybody should run to the bookstore and buy. He is also a gadget hound, and each week he joins us with gadgets. I hope you have... Did you hear my discussion before during the break?
Yes, and I'm thinking, if I had only done this 2 weeks earlier, this would have solved all of your problems.
So, Lisa, my wife and I, we're going on a trip. We've got to get different adapters. I said, I would like tonight, as we're packing, to lay out all the electronics. There's dozens. And plug in the cable each one needs and make sure I have a plug socket and adapter for everything I... And it's crazy, and I know you could solve this.
Yes, Leo... Well, this is for your trip after this trip.
Because it's too late now. In other words, you're going to tell me something that I can't use.
It's too late now, okay? All you needed, and you don't have to worry about security, was one. Well, actually, they have a sale on a pair of them, so you and Lisa could each have one. A clip-a-phone.
Clip-a-phone?
Okay? A clip-a-phone. Not only will this help you with your photographing, but whenever Lisa says, like, Leo, where's your phone? You say, Lisa, it's on my head.
Okay. That doesn't look dorky at all.
No. So this is it. A lot of museums and amusement parks are outlawing selfie sticks.
Yeah. Rightly so.
So now you click your phone to your head. Okay.
Yeah.
It goes on a baseball cap. They will actually, they have a special where they will sell you 2 clips with baseball caps.
Yeah.
And then a little Bluetooth adapter that comes on a lanyard or a keychain.
Yeah.
And then you press once to shoot a photograph, press it quickly twice to start video.
Oh.
And as they said, your body is a perfect tripod. And anywhere you look, you are aiming at what you want to film.
What the what?
Yeah, right? Because you don't have to bother. You know, someone says, look over there. You don't have to bother getting your camera, because as soon as you turn your head, your camera's facing.
Now, can I ask you, have you worn this thing? Doesn't it make your hat kind of lopsided?
No, it doesn't. I do know from using the Galaxy in it that the Galaxy just fits. So it's not going to fit the new big phones.
And you weren't humiliated wearing this around? People didn't...
No, because, quite frankly, I did it in the backyard.
Yeah, that's what I would do, too. So it works on any baseball hat. You have to clip it onto the bill.
Exactly. And you have to have not one of the new giant phones. And it comes with the little Bluetooth button. Device to set it off. Yeah, exactly. Now, I found on the Galaxy... Every time I clicked a photograph, that was absolutely perfect. But for some reason, trying to get it to go into video mode was a little bit wonky on the Galaxy. That's the only phone I tried it on. But I told the guy, and he said we have lots of people with Galaxies using it, so they weren't quite sure. Chris,
you, Marquardt. Oh, I got your wrong lower third. Well, you're not Chris. Because you are a photographer.
I was just going to say, this is such profound professional photography advice. I can totally understand.
It's our photo segment now. And But, you know, a lot of times you buy something like this, $29.99 for two clips, and they say, hat not included. But in this case.
Now they're giving you the hat.
Hat is included. It's just a gray or a black cap. But, you know, you don't have to go out and buy a cap.
No, there you go. There you go.
Actually, wait a minute. It's not even $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Oh, it's $10 shipping and handling. There you go.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, it says $29.99.
Right.
And then it says only $19.99 plus shipping and handling. So I guess it's $10 shipping and handling.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. As seen on the GizWiz show.
That's so funny.
Yeah, they gave you a little plug.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even see that.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. And then there's an app, the Cap Clipophone app.
Exactly. And, nice. You know, you wouldn't have to lay out the cap. All you do, you say, Lisa, let's lay out the two caps. Lay out. Where's your clipophone?
There's two more things I got to bring. Yeah, I thought this time, because every time we go on a trip, there's always, well, you didn't bring the charger? I thought you brought the charger. Well, do you have a lightning cable? No, I don't have any lightning cables. I'm using them. And we end up, like, doubling up. Like, okay, you're done charging your phone because it's my turn. And I just want to have enough.
You're doing it in a very systematic way.
I thought we'd lay out all the electronics, plug in a cable to each of them. Then make sure that there is a USB port, because I'm bringing with me like power strips with their own USB ports and stuff like that. I don't know. It's still going to end up.
I want to just remind you, you did this 2 years ago, and the ship had sailed 2 days.
Yeah.
And you were still saying, Lisa, do you have the lightning cable? Or...
Hey, caramba.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great fun.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
And I know you've set up a website for us to follow
you. You saw that. Day. Yeah, on my blog, leolaporte.com. I've been looking at different ways to do this, and for a while I looked at photos, Google Photos. But Microsoft makes this thing called Sway. I don't know. We'll see how this works because I have, as you know, when you're traveling, often limited bandwidth. But what I'd like to do is take at least one good picture a day and put it on my Sway, and I've already embedded it on the blog. So I think I've played with it. If I just put some pictures in the Sway, it'll automatically update on the blog.
Yeah. Are you not bringing a micro tower?
Well, yeah. Okay. And a couple of 27-inch screens. I think that'll be okay.
I think it's going to be fine. Yeah. I think security is going to have no problem with that.
You'll find more Dick at gizwiz.biz, gizwiz.biz. Of course, click the link that says the GizWiz visits the tech guy for more information about the Clipophone. And if you go, while you're there, if you go to the What the Heck Is It contest, you get a chance to take a picture or look at a picture of a close-up of a gadget and figure out what the heck it is. It's 12 autographed Mad magazines. I have one right here when I won back in 2016, 12 autographed copies of Mad Magazine for the best right answer and 24 for the best wrong answer.
And a preview of the August issue that you'll be playing for.
Oh, it's all there, gizwiz.biz. And Dick does a great weekly podcast with Chad Johnson called The Weekly GizWiz, and you'll find that at gizwiz.tv. Thank you, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir.
I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Safe time.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And we will have shows, new shows, all four shows while I'm gone. I'm pre-recording a couple. So, in fact, if you're online, stay online because we'll continue to answer phones after the show goes off in a couple of minutes. And then that's for next weekend. And the following weekend, Scott Wilkinson's going to do a day. And my friend Jason Snell from Mac World Magazine will do a day. So we got it covered. No repeats, no reruns, all new fresh content for the next 2 weeks. And then I'll be back and I can tell you my tales of woe. I will see you in a few weeks. We got a great bunch of shows planned for you. Don't worry. If you're on the line, stay on the line because I'll continue to answer calls for another hour. So we can have some new stuff for next week. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great couple of geek weeks. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.